this morning is from one of Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, to whom he wrote the most, at least that we have. And this is from the first 15 verses of the 11th chapter. Listen to them, listen in them for what God might say to us through them. I hope you'll put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband of Christ so that I might present you a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I do not think I'm in the least inferior to the super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I have knowledge. We made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for brothers who came from Macedonia supported what I needed. I kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and I will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such ones are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. The word of the Lord. Pray with me. Gracious God, help us above all things to see and know Christ. That is our prayer. In his name, amen. Generally, when people hear the word counterfeit, they think of money, though interestingly enough, counterfeit money is not a giant problem in the United States. Money is hard to make and people use less and less cash. Fake credit cards are a little more common, but still not a huge problem. And both of those absolutely pale in comparison to counterfeit goods and fake products. In 2025, the U.S. government seized over $7 billion, with a B, dollars of fake goods. But beyond that, the counterfeit industry is thought to be worth upwards of $500 billion. And those products, if not seized, often go unknown or unreported unless something happens and they cause harm to people or property. If we had time, we'd go through a quiz, but let me just run down for you the top five counterfeited goods in the United States: handbags and wallets. Sometimes this is on purpose. People know they're fake. They just like the idea of having them. Watches and jewelry. Same is sometimes true of watches, not as much with jewelry. Consumer electronics. This is where it gets dangerous because the batteries and the wiring are usually not good, and there's extreme fire hazards. Apparel of all kinds, but especially high-end sneakers and athletic jerseys. And one that you might not think of, which is probably the most dangerous, pharmaceuticals. Dangerous because either people think they're taking real medicine or some of the things in the fake medicine are harmful to us. Because so much of this happens online, it's been hard to stop, even when it happens through major outlets like Amazon or eBay. Customer reviews and online guides, kind of how to spot fakes, can help. But this is a massive problem that doesn't seem to be going away. Well, I've been thinking about counterfeits lately. That led me to dig into some of those numbers, some of that stuff. Things that look like even pretend to be real, but aren't. Specifically, because I've been listening to some of the talk about Jesus in the world, and I've been suspicious that some of it sounds off to me. In the 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus warns his disciples to be on the lookout for false Christs. Keep in mind that Christ in Greek means Messiah. It's just the Greek word for Messiah. It's not Jesus' name. So he just tells them, look out for fake messiahs. And the word that Mark uses there is fascinating. It's only used two places in the Bible, Mark and Matthew, and we're pretty sure Matthew got it from Mark. The word is pseudo-Christs, pseudo-Christs, false messiahs, a knockoff of Jesus. And Jesus says, beware of these false versions of me. Don't be misled. Paul, when he's dealing with the church in Corinth again, criticizes them for accepting a Jesus other than the one we preached. And as you study the letters of Corinth, it's kind of easy to see what he means. A group that Paul calls super apostles have landed in Corinth, and they've challenged Paul. They've criticized Paul. They've taught the people that Paul had it wrong. They said, instead of what Paul said, Jesus wants them to be successful and wealthy. And Jesus doesn't really care about their moral choices. They've been set free from sin, which means they can do anything they want. And several of them are. And trying to unpack all this, to his credit, Paul, as he always does, goes back to Jesus. And he repeats himself over and over again while trying to warn them of the dangers of listening to the wrong teachers and following a false Jesus. Lately, I found myself thinking that unfortunately, the knockoff Jesuses are still with us. They're still out there. You can see from the New Testament, it's not exactly a new problem. But it seems like in some of our public speech about Jesus, some of it feels off the mark. A couple of weeks ago, Michael mentioned a speech in which a person said, you know, if Jesus had had better weapons, he might not have had to go to the cross. Well, I'm not sure that's blasphemy, but it's dumb. And it's certainly not biblical. Maybe my YouTube algorithm is broken, but not a week goes by that I don't get a video of some pastor telling me who Jesus hates. And why some certain class of people are evil and can't be Christian. And that happens on all sides of every issue. Recently, you might have seen a prayer in which the prayer asked God to guide bullets to find their targets and destroy our enemies who do not deserve mercy. Or a pastor who admitted that he prays for the death of his opponents and encouraged others to join him. By the way, not deserving mercy is what makes mercy mercy. And when you pray for death in Jesus' name, you probably should at least pause to consider which version of Jesus you're talking to, because it may not be the one who said, love your enemies and blessed are the merciful. How many preachers out there tell us again and again, if you follow Jesus, he'll make you healthy. He'll make you rich. A few even will go on to tell you Jesus doesn't care so much about the poor. But read the Gospel of Luke. Read the rest of 2 Corinthians where Paul boasts about how much he's suffered, which he takes as a sign he's been faithfully preaching the right gospel. How many pastors, Christians, tell you that Jesus doesn't really care what you do, as long as you try to be nice, treat people well, it doesn't really matter what you believe or what makes you happy. reminds me of a real conversation. This happened. A man who was having an affair with a married woman asked me if I could recommend some Bible verses to encourage her to leave her husband because, quote, Jesus wants us together. And if I'm honest with you, I don't know, maybe it's fatigue, maybe it's apathy. I'll tell you the truth, I don't generally care what people say. Some things bother me, but I let go of them usually pretty fast. Until they throw Jesus under the bus. Until they use Jesus for something I don't think Jesus is very happy about. And again, it's not new, and it's not like I have all the answers or I have Jesus figured out. Not even close. But for nearly 20 centuries, Christians have spent lifetimes reading and thinking and praying over these exact questions. Who is Jesus? How does he want us to live? What does it mean to call him Lord? And there is no way we have it all right. But there is no way we have it all wrong. So when some different version shows up, not using or misusing Scripture, claiming Jesus is exclusively on their team, teaching that Jesus hates the same people they do, or promising things that Jesus never did or even specifically warned us about, I find myself some combination of angry and frustrated and sad. And I wish in those moments that we could copyright or trademark Jesus. Now we could just get the original so no one else could reproduce a version of him for their own ends. Ends which aren't about the kingdom of God ultimately. And friends, I get it. I understand. It would be great to have a Jesus who agreed with me on everything. It would be wonderful to have a Jesus who shares all my views and my opinions, all my appraisals of people. A Jesus that didn't ask me to love people I don't want to love and forgive people I don't want to forgive. A Jesus that only wanted me to be happy and rich and didn't really care what I do. Who wouldn't want a Messiah hanging around like that? But that's not the Jesus we got. We got the real one, the genuine article, who gave his life to people who despised him and prayed for them as they were killing him, who could have easily kept himself off the cross, except he was unwilling to keep us out of the kingdom, and who said, when you love people that are easy to love, you're just doing what everyone does. Faith is faith when it's about Jesus and not me. When it's hard. When it's difficult. And when I might even suffer for it. So be careful, friends. Be careful when you hear things about Jesus that don't sound quite right. That don't sound like Scripture, especially the parts he himself said. Turns out there are some pseudo-Christs, some knockoff versions of the Messiah out there. It's not surprising. Jesus said there would be. And counterfeits might not really matter when it comes to handbags, but I promise you, it matters when it comes to messiahs. Fake ones are dangerous because they tempt us to settle for something less than the real thing, the living Christ, the one and the only true Savior, Jesus himself. Friends, may that be the only Christ that we ever accept. Amen.